From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Let's stand and open our Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, not because they were preachers, but because they were going to be helpers in the church, overseeing the work that was dedicated towards the widows. Verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Now look what it says about Stephen, who was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now go with me to chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him, speaking of Stephen. They gnashed on him with their teeth, but he, once again, what does it say of this man? Being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. We at Salvation have received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of that is to make us more like Christ. Look what it says in John 16, just a few pages back. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And the Holy Spirit wants to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, make you more like Christ. And here's what we see in Stephen. This man, full of the Holy Ghost, was much like Christ. Let me ask you tonight, Christian, who that sees you for an extended period of time would take a good look and say, that person's like Christ? Who around you on a daily basis would say his actions, his words, his tone of voice, his spirit, his reaction, his goal, his passion, his love, his kindness is like Christ? That's what God wants to produce. That's why he's left us the Holy Spirit. That's why we're not supposed to be just indwelt, but filled with the Holy Spirit. And young people, you don't have to be 35. There's no age limitations. It's not that God said, hopefully you work long enough, hard enough, at 40 you can be filled with the Spirit. Isn't it nice to know we're indwelt at salvation? We've got a head start on those from other generations. But God has said, I want you to live filled. Why? So you reflect the image of Christ. We're talking about the mission field earlier. And in the States, there's a mirror on every corner. And if there's not a mirror, you can walk by a restaurant window and see your reflection. But I've been places in foreign countries where there wasn't much mirror, and you're trying to see a reflection to make sure your hair is combed and everything's in place, and you can't find anything that provides a decent reflection. And Christians, here's what we need to do and understand, that we are a reflection of Christ, and this world is looking for an image of Christ, and the imperfections that we're showing them is a poor image and a poor reflection that instead of drawing men to Christ is repelling men. And instead of this world looking at our lives and saying, whatever that person has, I want it. That the difference in their heart, the passion in their life, the peace in their marriage, I want what they have. You would think if we were a proper reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ, others would look and say, they have something unique. And whatever disaster I am living, I don't have to live because here's someone that's rising above the culture and rising above the chaos of life. And so God has given us his Holy Spirit. And here's what you see in Stephen, an amazing reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know why. Because he was Spirit-filled. Now go back with me, Luke chapter 1, because I want you to see in the earthly ministry, the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ and throughout his ministry, you see the Holy Spirit connected. Look what it says in Luke 1:35. Speaking of the birth of Christ, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." We know there was a supernatural conception that took place by the Spirit of God. Look what it said in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. The beginning of his ministry, the Bible tells us, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Now, wouldn't you think that if Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh upon this earth, was not about to minister not a single moment, not a single day, without being full of the Holy Ghost, that we, with our limitations, with our sinful nature, with our inabilities, we much more ought to be seeking the fullness of the Spirit of God. He being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan. And look what a Holy Spirit-filled person does. He was led by the Spirit. You know what we're not seeing enough of in Christianity? Not enough Spirit-filled Christians. And as a result, not enough of Spirit-led Christians. You know why so many Christians are getting themselves in trouble, making poor decisions? They're not Spirit-led. Young people, if you're going to marry right, you better be Spirit-led. In order to end up with the right career, you better be Spirit-led. In order to avoid addictions and problems in life, you better be Spirit-led. Anyone in here with a little bit of age and experience can look back on their life and with regret say, "I wish I hadn't done that," and they did it. Not because they were following the Holy Spirit, but they were following a carnal nature, submitting to the desires of the flesh. And that got them in trouble. And a Spirit-filled Christian is not going to be making those kind of decisions. He was Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. Look what it says, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He was anointed. This is another message for another night. He was anointed by the Spirit for ministry. Look what it says in verse 14. Jesus returned in the, what's it say? Let's say it together. The power of this. Are you seeing a trend here? Jesus Christ, while he was ministering upon this earth, full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, anointed of the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, Christian. How is it that we're so brazen that we would do anything, lift a spiritual finger, without being Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-anointed, Spirit-empowered? Jesus being our example, we are to be a reflection of him. The Holy Spirit says, connect the dots. I am in you to make you more like him, and he wanted more of me. You see what's taking place here? So, as we do the work of God, how many believe 2016, we're living in a wicked day, in a wicked culture, and to have any impact at all upon our society, to think that because we went to Bible college, or to think that because we know a little bit about the Word of God, or to think that because we have some kind of God-given talent, or to think because we've come prepared and full of Bible ammo, and with that, we can accomplish something. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came and said, "I will walk and I will minister full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, anointed of the Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit." Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts 10, verse 38. Speaking of Christ, the word was published throughout all Judea. Look what it says, verse 38, how God was anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? with the Holy Ghost and with power. What was the result? Who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Every time I read the scripture, I'm amazed by the emphasis made in the scripture of Jesus Christ doing everything that he did in the power and the strength and with the help of the Holy Ghost. Go with me to chapter 9 of Hebrews. Hebrews 9, verse 14. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect offering for sin. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through, what's it say? The eternal Spirit, capital S, through the Spirit offered himself without spot to God, who was strengthened in his life, strengthened for his work, strengthened for his death by the Holy Ghost. Calvary was accomplished through the power of the Holy Ghost. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus, capital S, the Spirit of God, raised up Jesus from the dead, if that Spirit dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So he was conceived by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, strengthened in life and death by the Spirit. And now we see he was resurrected by the Spirit. How much more do we need his Spirit? Now, Christian, if we're going to properly reflect the image of Christ and be conformed to his image, we too must be conceived, must be birthed supernaturally by the Spirit of God. How many understand that? That's just the starting point. That means you have the indwelling of the Spirit. We talked about that this morning, John 3, 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, capital S, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But more than that, we need the anointing of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. We need to live led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, strengthened in life and death by the Spirit, resurrected by his Spirit. That same Spirit, verse 11, that did something supernatural in the life of Jesus Christ is supposed to be doing something supernatural in our life. And not to be confused with the end of our life being resurrected at death, but being spiritually resurrected to do something supernatural. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you can say, I'm submitted enough to God, filled and led and empowered by, so the work of God that I'm participating in is seeing the supernatural hand of God? Amen. Or would you have to say, pretty much, I'm seeing the natural? People come, people go. They're entertained, they're instructed, they learn. Where's the supernatural? It doesn't matter if it's a school or the junior church. It doesn't matter the age of your class. Even if you work in the nursery, intervention between mothers and children and babies. And we act as if everything were fine while walking under our own power. Oh, how proud we are of ourselves. That's the average Christian. Walking around, nothing supernatural taking place. The hand of God, the power of God, the blessing of God, the Spirit of God is not moving. Why would we settle for something so small, so minimal, so man-made, so natural? Isn't it amazing? And then we look at churches that aren't even churches. Now they're clubs, ever-growing, mega-church movement. And it's easy to point and criticize and say that's taking place through man's effort, but it's not involving the supernatural hand of God. Hold on for a second. Be careful before you point the finger or throw the blame. Because there's a lot that goes on in the average independent Baptist church that's not Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered, Spirit-anointed, spirit resurrected or spirit strengthened. I'm convinced that the church of God in this generation has absolutely learned to exist without the Spirit of God blessing and empowering. We're pretty much satisfied with the indwelling. That's sufficient because heaven is our home, our destiny is secured, and I know He lives inside of me, and occasionally He'll speak to me, and occasionally I'll listen to Him. That's not the purpose of the Spirit's indwelling. God has so much more in store for us. It goes beyond the fruit of the Spirit. It's that in this natural world, God wants to do something supernatural, and He can't do that through you simply because you're a born-again child of God. And here's what's happened, Christians. Literally, because of what took place in the 60s and that Pentecostal movement, it scared the Baptists half to death. The Baptists have run from a Bible doctrine, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and because of all the craziness that took place, and Christians now literally are absent in any proper and biblical teaching, and you see it in the New Testament church, it's in every page, the thread runs deep throughout the book. The Holy Spirit of God is moving in every man, in every ministry that we see in the book of Acts, but somehow we truly think we can impact our community, we can send forth laborers, we can watch God move, and we can do it without the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what you see in the life of Stephen. The Holy Spirit was given to us for the moment of crisis because that's when it's really revealed whether or not we're Spirit-filled. You wake up and everything's in place and you're having a pleasant day and your morning coffee is good and hot, your creamer is just about perfect, and everyone in the house is happy. That's not why the Holy Spirit of God was given to you. It's given to you when you feel bad and the kids are tired and the traffic is gnarled and someone hits your bumper and God says, let's see how Holy Spirit filled you are. When someone doesn't treat you properly and you get poor service, isn't it amazing that we're so lacking in the filling of the Spirit of God that poor service can trigger an eruption of unkind words? Filter's gone. Isn't it amazing that any minor problem in life, as missionaries, we have a phrase that's thrown around often, it's called first world problems, because in third world countries, living without water, in a city that has no entrance or exit, no electricity, danger, threats, making do, are normal ways of life. But in this country, you know, it'll throw our life off kilter and cause us to live outside of the Holy Spirit's filling and leading. Our coffee's not the right temperature. Or we asked for a latte and they gave us a macchiato. Or someone cut me off on the highway. My boss lifted his voice. My wife doesn't have dinner ready. I looked in the closet this morning. There wasn't a shirt ironed. We are so used to living an unfilled spiritual life that if things aren't perfect, if they're not absolutely perfect, we're angry, frustrated, discontent, hurt. That love, joy, peace concept is supposed to be something deep and natural for the Christian, even in the midst of crisis. Now, here's what you see. Whatever crisis you have faced, I don't think we can compare it to Stephen's crisis, because he's preached the word, God's blessing and power is supposed to be upon him, and suddenly an angry crowd is so upset, they're biting him. Literally, they have set their teeth upon his body to rip the flesh. I've never seen an adult angry enough to bite another adult. Take that back in a boxing match. How many were watching that live? You still can't believe. Tyson leaned over. Holyfield was my favorite boxer of that generation. leaned over and bit his ear because he was losing the fight. He lost his mind and he lost the fight. That's the only time in my life I've seen another adult bite an adult out of anger and frustration. But in this case, you have dozens of people so angry with a message. Now let me ask you, tell me about your spirituality, your Christianity in crisis this past week. Now remember what your crisis was. Try to remember, because now it's a distant memory. What was I so upset about? But if you can remember what you're upset about, we're dealing with a man who was being bitten by scores of angry people trying to sink their teeth into his flesh and rip out portions of his body. The Spirit of God was made for a crisis. So that way, in the midst of the crisis, we can still appear calm and controlled, loving and kind. So you can check your spirit's filling, not by the better moments of your week, but by the moments of small crises that we have to endure. Now look what it says in chapter 7, verse 54. They were cut to the heart. Their response, they gnashed on him with their teeth. He, being full of the Holy Ghost, how does he respond to these cannibals? He saw the glory of God. And he said, I see the heavens open. And they cried out, they couldn't stand it. You know what the world can't stand? They can't stand a Christian that in crisis still responds properly, because they want the Christian to fold, and that's what the average Christian does. He puts his Christianity in the box, he puts it in his pocket, and he retaliates like a lost man. He responds and he reacts like a lost man. Isn't it amazing, Christians? 2016, all the benefits of life we have at church, the amazing people, the sacrificial, and the school and all the ministries that we have going on, and despite near perfection, we are professionals at finding the imperfections, highlighting them and making sure to proclaim that I have detected right here. Blow the whistle. Hey, missed a note. He didn't smile like he should have when he told us to go to page 36. When he's organizing the choir, slapped his hands twice, said, get up here, get up here. Never said please. I'm just wondering, when's the last time he read his Bible? If you thought about, ever considered how little it takes for you to walk in the flesh, the water heater is out. I remember years ago meeting a missionary in Argentina. And during the course of the conversation, it came up, I don't know why, but often because of the heat and the cold, we didn't have AC and we didn't have a heater. And at winter, I hated the winter months because the house would be, literally, the house would be 45 degrees and the floors would be about 35 degrees. And we had no way to heat it, and I didn't want to have to take a shower. And you turn to your feet, literally, by the time you got to shower, literally, they're frozen. And he lived up in the northern part of the state. And I said, I don't know what's worse, the heat, the cold, it's all been a struggle to get used to. And he said, preacher, we don't even have water heater. I haven't had a hot shower in 8 years. I'm just going to let you stew on that for a minute or two. He said, at this point, we'd consider it a waste of money. We've got water. Who needs hot water? Consider the cause of your crisis. Consider what puts you in a bad mood. What makes you walk in the flesh? And then consider Stephen, who was chosen because immediately when they said, we're looking for someone full of the Spirit, the first name that came to mind was Stephen. Obviously, they were right in their pick, because when he was being gnashed upon with their teeth, he still, being full of the Holy Ghost, said, you know what I see in all of this? I see God. When's the last time you were willing or able to go through a crisis and you said, you know what I see in this? I see God. That angered them. They stopped their ears. They ran upon him with one accord. They cast him out of the city. Things are getting worse. They stoned him. Well, let's see how the Spirit's filling helped him through this stoning. And as they stoned Stephen, what was he doing? He was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, injustice! This is unfair! I'm innocent! God, I'm your servant! No, lay not this sin to their charge. Go with me for a minute to Luke chapter 23. Because there's someone else that died like this. Someone that was innocent, hated for his preaching. Someone that was spirit-filled and only loved despite the hate. Luke 23:34. And when he was crucified, verse 34, then said Jesus, these are the words that come out of his mouth, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verse 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. Verse 46, and he too, when dying, said words very similar to Stephen's. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Do you see the parallels? Two spirit-filled men, one God in the flesh. The other filled with the Spirit, reflecting a proper image of Christ because the Spirit had conformed him to the image of Christ. That's the purpose of the Spirit. Now we'll take him through crisis, and everybody will sit back in astonishment and say, that man is a Christian, that man is spirit-filled, and we know it because we see God reflected in him in the midst of crisis. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Speaking of Christ, 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Now what's the command? That ye should follow his steps. How are we with a carnal body and a fallen nature to follow in his steps? That's why we're given the Holy Spirit and we're to live filled with, led by, empowered by, anointed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 23, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Here's what the Spirit of God does in a man when he is in the crisis. He closes his mouth, and he commits the injustice to the righteous judge to perform justice. That's spirit-filled living. Now, you would think with the command, the explanation, the Scripture, and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, this is what you'd see in the average independent Baptist church. Right? People in crisis showing a reflection, a proper and appropriate reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, suffering the injustice and pointing to the righteous judge saying, he's the one who'll take care of this anyways. I'm going to leave it in his hands. And what you see in Christ at his death, suffering unjustly, you see in Stephen. You know why you see that, Stephen? He was a spirit-filled man. And in the crisis, you still see the fruit of the Spirit. Love never vanished in the crisis. Joy never vanished in the crisis. Peace never disappeared in the crisis. Long-suffering, meekness, and temperance was never dissipated in the midst of the crisis. And how many Christians have I spoken to? They use the crisis as an excuse for their ill behavior, justified by the crisis. No, that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to take us through the crisis, looking and properly reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave us no exception clause. God did not tell us about the fruit of the Spirit and then said, listen, a class 6, 7, or 8 crisis will change the filling of the Spirit So you can expect improper behavior at these moments. Not what God said. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look what it says in verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, did you get that? Let's go back and read a little more slowly. But we all, everyone that's a born-again child of God, with open face, beholding as in a glass, we're seeing through God's word the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. How? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, Christians, let me ask you, not based on the amount of years that you've been saved, let me just ask you, not what you would say, but what others would say about you, those closest, would they say, Spirit-filled. Even in crisis, Spirit-filled. Lowest moments, sickness, tragedy, pain, surprises, shock, discouragement. Spirit-filled. We ought to say, my children are looking to see the image of Christ reflected in me. My mate is waiting to see the image of Christ reflected in me. My co-workers are waiting to see the image of Christ reflected in me. Those under my ministry are wanting to see and waiting to see the image of Christ in me. My schoolmates are expecting to see the image of Christ reflected in me that is possible through His Spirit. Not in the flesh. We can't produce the fruit of the Spirit through the flesh. But when walking in the Spirit, submitted to the Spirit, oh, what beautiful people are those that are Spirit-filled Christians. And oh, how ugly is the Christian that is walking in the flesh. And all of us can look back in a time in our life when we were an ugly person. And we can quickly identify that moment as one that we stooped to walk, react, or talk in the flesh. And then there are a few moments when we catch people off guard. I've mentioned before, and we'll close with this. Years ago, while we were inaugurating our building in Mexico, our first week, we'd spent so much time and money, pastors were coming down, Brother Fleur, Brother Welder, both Tim and Jim, other pastors were coming. They'd made large investments in that project. That Sunday was a special day, and I had a great secretary, but I had put a lot on her shoulder, and I'd asked her to do a specific favor that was very important to the success of that morning service. When I showed up that morning in the hustle and bustle, I found Paola, and I said, Paola, did you bring, and I mentioned what was supposed to be done and brought. And her face literally fell off her head. Just slid right down her body. I could tell she had forgotten. I'll be honest with you, my first and normal reaction was to lose my mind. And the Holy Spirit said, I wouldn't do that. If I were you, I wouldn't say anything at all. If I were you, I'd surprise her and say, you're forgiven. Knowing I was about ready to be publicly humiliated in front of God and country, I took a deep breath, tried to lower my blood pressure to 200 over 186. And I said, Paola? She was already crying. Yes, sir. I said, you are forgiven. Now, you know what the biggest message, most powerful message I've ever heard in my life, preached by the Holy Ghost, was a look of shock on her face. Because then the Holy Spirit leaned over and said, why is she so surprised by a proper reaction? Now, why is it that in the moments of crisis, people expect us to act like we're not Christians? He, being full of the Holy Ghost, when they gnashed on him with their teeth and stoned him with stones. He knelt and in a forgiving voice said, Father, don't lay this to their charge. Would you receive my spirit? The church, I'm asking you tonight. That's not a myth. That's not philosophy. That's not doctrine. That's practical Bible truth that God says, I've given you advantage in this day and age, in this dispensation. It's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you can live with the filling of the Spirit. So if you're not, why not? Because every church ought to be an amazing place with harmony and love and forgiveness, empowered Christians, bold soul winners, gracious people, because they're walking filled with the Spirit.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.